come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And welcome into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe here with you. It's all powered by the Nashville Super Speedway. Father's Day weekend, that is where you are going to want to be. The Ally 400 weekend, June 18th, 19th, and 20th. You can get your tickets by going to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or by calling 1-866-RACE-TIX. Going to be an awesome weekend. But speaking of an awesome weekend, that happened last weekend, too, at the Martinsville Speedway. You know that I love short track racing. We talk a lot of short track racing here on this show. And the grandfather clock up for grabs for both the Xfinity and the Cup Series. And I want to start with the Xfinity Series. And we're actually going to spend a little more time on the Xfinity Series moving forward with this show. Josh Berry, who won that race, is going to join us in the next segment. Looking forward to talking to him, the junior motorsports driver. But what an awesome deal that was for him. As you know, he is the defending national champion on the short track ranks in the late model. He's been driving the late model for several years for Junior Motorsports and Dale Earnhardt Jr. He had run a little bit in the Xfinity Series before, but after winning the national championship last year, Dale Earnhardt Jr. wanted to give him the opportunity to be able to go Xfinity Series racing. And it's something that has been near and dear to him, and he did just that. It's a limited schedule. He'll do about, you know, the first half of the season, I think. And Nashville is actually going to be his last race with Junior Motorsports. But he wanted to put him in a position where he could win. And he knew going into Martinsville, the short track, that he had an opportunity to do that. And he did just that. And it wasn't any type of fluke he went either. I mean, he led over 90 laps of that 250-lap race. He had to deal with the rain delay and having the race postponed for a day until they finished it on Sunday. The team looked good. Taylor Moyer, the crew chief, called a heck of a race, and Berry was able to get the win. And we'll start with his car owner, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who was quite emotional when his driver got his first National Series win.
He just drove an amazing race. Taylor and the guys did a great job giving him the track position and a great race car. And it just happened. You know, it just happened. I can't believe it. And these are the highest of highs in motorsports. This sport can take you really, really down. It can lift you way, way up. And this is one of the highest days that I've experienced. You know, we're having some good stuff happen with Junior Motorsports with the seven cars win. And Noah and those boys ran great this today. So we got some good speed in our company and all the things are happening that we want to happen. But this win with Josh is just, I can put it right up there with the things that I'm very most proud of in racing. And, even though we weren't there, right. You know, we kind of trade off. NASCAR only allows, I think, one owner per team to be at the track, and Kelly and the LW were going to go this week. And, so I didn't go, but, it didn't matter. The emotions and the feelings and the joy all are the same, whether you're watching it on television or there in person. And our whole house was in tears today. So it was a great day. Great thing to see. I'm just happy for Josh. He's worked hard and he's beat himself up a little bit about over how things have been going over the last couple of weeks, but he'll get hard on himself and get frustrated, but he'll also turn around in the next moment and say, I got this under control. My head's in the right place, and he'll go out there and do what he did today and perform. So he's got a lot of experience, and that really helps in the ups and downs of racing every week.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. cares about racing. And we've talked about that before on this show. He cares about the history of racing, and he cares about the future just as much of racing. And he has seen something in this 30-something-year-old of Josh Berry. Josh Berry from Hendersonville, Tennessee. He's a local guy, and he's very loyal to his guys and loves that he can give somebody an opportunity that has come up, you know, through the ranks, come up that way. I mean, yes, Dale Earnhardt Jr. had different resources growing up that not many racers had with what his father did and who his father was, but he still worked for it, and he still worked his way up through those local ranks and late models and things, just like Josh Berry has done. And so you could tell that it really meant a lot to Dale Jr. to be able to reward Josh Berry with the opportunity just to compete, and then to see him capitalize on that and get a win meant that much more. So a very, very cool story and a popular win for sure. Josh Berry going to join us a little later on in the show to discuss it and talk about what the weekend was like for him. Now on to the Cup Series. As they got things going, it was supposed to be Saturday night and ended up having to be on Sunday, which kind of stunk. I was looking forward to Under the Lights at Martinsville. You know, we got to see it last year for the first time, but it had to wait, but you know, that's all right. But Martin Truex Jr., how about Martin Truex Jr. becomes the first multi-time winner this year? We had had different winners in every race, and I honestly thought we were going to see it again, because 276 of the laps belonged to Denny Hamlin, and Denny Hamlin was once again a very dominant driver, and I thought he was going to get his first win of the season. That was not the case. It was Martin Truex Jr. getting it done, and he talked about his day after the race.
Yeah, it was, interesting how it all played out there. You know, I thought throughout the day we were, third to fifth place car in there. And then at one point we, middle of the race, we got off a little bit and was probably sixth or seventh place car. So it was kind of a weird day, but, just proud of the guys for working hard on it. They did a great job. And, that last pit stop, we were able to get us the lead and couldn't quite hold off the 11 on that restart. He was really fast firing off and, just try to stay with him and take care of my car. I knew there was enough laps left that, tire wear in the long run was going to come into play. And, he started getting tight. My car was getting better and better, and, we were able to take advantage of it. So really happy. And, for whatever reason, our car really turned on when the lights went down. And it's always good when a plan comes together and it works out the way you hoped it would.
Truex is starting to show, and he even talked about this too after the race, Truex is starting to show a little bit of the championship year Martin Truex Jr. Remember we talked about the big three, and it was Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr. winning everything. I'm kind of wondering if this is just the beginning, because just to allude to things to come with Sunday money, Martin Truex Jr. the betting favorite going into Richmond this weekend. So Truex has shown he's a good short track racer. We know what he can do on mile and a halfs, but he's doing a little bit of everything and just continues to get better with age. I mean, he was a little slow out of the gates in his career with DEI, and, has obviously turned this into a nice career now with Joe Gibbs Racing, already a champion, but looked really good, only led 20 laps, but he was there the whole day. He was right there knocking on the door and was able to get around Denny Hamlin to get his second win of the season. Chase Elliott with a nice day coming home second. And they needed that, because this team has been very up and down since running second in the Daytona 500. And so I know for Chase Elliott, it was huge. And he discussed that of how it has been a very odd year so far.
Just every week, I feel like it's been, one thing or another, or, a bad run or just whatever. So just, nice to have just a smooth day. No damage, we didn't break anything. Everything was just smooth, it was uneventful, and that's the days you have to compete for wins. Ultimately, some of that's in your hands, some of it's not, but yeah, we've just really nice to have an uneventful day, so to speak, and just get a solid finish, got some solid stage points. So it was definitely a step in the right direction for us.
That Chase Elliott team's gonna get it figured out. They're gonna turn it around. I mean, Alan Gustafson is a veteran crew chief. We saw what they did last year. And in his career, especially once he got over the win threshold, once he started winning, they tend to come a little later in the season. They get better as the season goes on. So I have no worries about Chase Elliott. Hendrick Motorsports as a whole, as a company, they are better right now. They're running better across the board. I mean, William Byron, Kyle Larson were all in the top five last weekend at Martinsville. I mean, Alex Bowman has certainly had his ups and downs this year, but I know that Chase Elliott and that bunch, they're going to get it figured out, and you're going to see them win some races, not just a race, multiple races, before it is all said and done. Before we hear from Denny Hamlin, here's the top 10. Martin Truex Jr. gets his second win of the year. Chase Elliott second. Denny Hamlin comes home third after leading the most laps. William Byron, another solid run for him in fourth. Kyle Larson fifth. Joey Logano sixth, coming off the win at Bristol. Christopher Bell hanging around, still doing a good job his first year in the 20 car. Tyler Reddick comes home eighth. Kevin Harvick ninth. Kyle Busch rounds out the top 10. So that's how that shook out. I mentioned the dominance from Denny Hamlin, and he talked about when he was leading and he saw Truex coming, if he felt he could hold him off or if he knew it was just a matter of time.
I thought it was a matter of time. I mean, with about 25 to go or so, he had already gotten to my rear bumper and was kind of beating the back end off. And I was like, you know, it's just a matter of time. The only hope, maybe, I mean, we had an extra set of tires over everyone, but hell, we would have pitted and taken tires and restarted 20th. So that wasn't going to work either. So, just tough to say. We just were stuck in a box where we couldn't be good in the long run. The reason we led so many laps is we had a lot of short runs and restarts there in the middle of the race, and not much green flag racing. But when we had green flag racing, again, we were fast for a little time, not a long time.
Denny Hamlin, when he's done these interviews, because it's no secret, he's been dominant this year. He just hadn't found victory lane. They're going to, just like I was saying about Chase Elliott, they're going to. It's going to happen. And when it does, watch out, because that's just going to, you know, awake a sleeping giant. The fact that Denny Hamlin has not won a championship at this point in his career is astonishing to me. It is certainly a byproduct of the format, of the playoff format, which I love the playoff format, but you know, that's just what happens sometimes. But he has kept his composure. You know he's frustrated, but at the same time, I think he uses it as motivation. Motivation to continue to try and, you know, build these points and these playoff points. The wins are going to come, but the consistency that he's running with right now is definitely going to help him down the line and later on in this season. So I have no doubt in my mind, just like Chase Elliott, that Denny Hamlin could get it done. And I mean, listen, you know, Richmond's another good place for him. So that could be a possibility if they're able to get it done this weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to Sunday Money. But when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Josh Berry got his first Xfinity Series win, his first National Series win last week at Martinsville. The Junior Motorsports driver will join us when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. And I'm so excited to talk to our next guest. Had the opportunity to chat with him back in October with his car owner, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and it was the day he found out he was going to run some of these Xfinity races that he's been running this year. But good to have Josh Berry, Hendersonville's own, on the show. Josh, how you doing? Congratulations.
I'm doing well. Definitely. It's been an amazing week for me, and I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to talking about our big win.
Yeah. Have you come down from the high yet?
A little bit. I've still been trying to process everything, and it's just been amazing the amount of support we've received. And it was just, like I said, it was just a big day for me, and I'm still wrapping my head around it, maybe completely, but like I said, it was just still an amazing day.
I want to go back to the fall when, like I said, it was you guys were doing the media tour. You had just won the national championship with the late models and, you know, running all the short tracks. And when I got to you, when you were on, Dale had not unveiled to you the plan yet that you were going to be running some Xfinity races. But when you found that out, that you were going to get to move up to the national level with Junior Motorsports, and then all the support that Dale had given you,
in your career? I mean, what was kind of going through your mind as you were trying to process it all?
Yeah, I mean, it was, it was almost a shock, really, was the best way to put it. You know, I think we had, I'd spent a lot of time with Dale and everybody that week going after we were officially crowned that national champion. And, you know, I just wasn't expecting that. He loves surprising me over the years, I found. And, you know, that was another great example of that. And, you know, I just, it's just amazing how, instantly that changes your outlook. I think, at that point I'd been late model racing and accomplishing, so much in that, and really kind of felt like that was what I was going to be. Just kind of a career short track, racer that, and there was no shame in that. You know, I was not, discouraged or frustrated by, doing what I've been doing. And, you know, just instantly just with that opportunity, it just, you kind of just changes the whole off season for you, just your outlook of that and what you need to do to prepare. And, it was just kind of a whirlwind since there. And really the whole time, I tried not to let myself think too much, you know, what if we win a race or what, something like that. And here we are, you know, it's just amazing how quick things can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you go to Martinsville last weekend, and it wasn't easy for you. You had to start in the back, and the paperclip, that is not a tall task, I should say, to come from the back to the front. You lead 95 laps, beat your teammate Noah Gregson and Daniel Hemric, and get your first win. But what? Take me through the whole race of starting in the back and then working your way up to the front.
Yeah, so early on, really, we were just trying to be patient. We felt like we knew we would have a good car and a good opportunity, and we just really wanted to keep the fenders on it and stay out of trouble early on. And that's what I was most nervous about going there and starting back there like that. Was I felt really comfortable about going to Martinsville, just because I've raced there a good bit and won there, and it feels nice to go to someplace like that. But I've learned, especially more so this year, just the Xfinity series and with the stage breaks and everything that they do, you know, it creates a lot of unique opportunities to, you know, gain track position. So I knew that my crew chief Taylor had been, we had talked about that. I knew he had a plan of what he wanted to do to get us that track position. So I was confident that we would be able to get up front. It was just making sure the car was still together when we got up there. And then, you know, once we were able to get up front, we could hang on.
Yeah. And you mentioned Taylor Moyer, your crew chief. He called a hell of a race too, to get you up to that point. And you know, with the way that this season is and your schedule and not running all the races, you know, having the chemistry with the crew chief is very important. How has that worked so quickly for you all?
Yeah, I think it's worked very well. And, like you said, Taylor called a perfect race, Friday night and then Sunday finishing up. I mean, he did everything right. And I think that me and him are very similar in personalities, and just, we both have a lot to prove and similar in age. And I think that just allowed us to, you know, just kind of be on the same page. And, you know, I think a lot of him, and I think he has a lot of respect for me. You know, just maybe that how I've got here and you know, the accomplishments that I have under my belt, you know, at 30, you know, I'm a rookie, but I'm at 30 years old. So we've just me and the whole team, I feel like have really been on the same page, and it's just a great group. And I think we're just having a lot of fun together right now.
Josh Berry is with us, driver of the number 8 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet, getting his first Xfinity win at Martinsville this weekend. Of course, a Hendersonville native. Let's talk a little bit about Nashville. You are going to run at the Nashville Super Speedway coming up in June when racing returns there. But also just a lot going on in this city when it comes to racing, trying to get things back at the fairgrounds going again. It looks like it's not going to happen maybe next year from the NASCAR standpoint, but could be in the next couple of years. So what does it mean to you, being from this area, to see NASCAR you know, back here in Nashville, in Middle Tennessee?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting there and racing. I know that it'll be a bittersweet feeling a little bit for me, just because, you know, I think it's going to be a great opportunity to go back home and for a lot of my friends and family to go to the race and watch me race. But you know, that's also right now scheduled to be my last one with this group. So I know that'll be tough as well. But, you know, overall, I think it's great that they're back at Nashville, and you know, there's a lot of love for the fairgrounds, just in general in the NASCAR community, but as well as the short track community that I'm used to and watching racing there and how great of a racetrack and facility that is. So I think it would be amazing for them to be able to put some TLC into that place and see what it could become, because I think it could definitely be a great thing for the city of Nashville.
Is that does that help with the bond that you and Dale Jr. have, because he loves this city too? You know, he's been a big part of trying to get racing back in Nashville and at the fairgrounds. So has that kind of helped things too with your relationship?
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't hurt. I think that's something that me and him have been very close over the years, and he's done a lot of things for me. And I think there's a number of things that attribute to the reason for that, but you know, that could be another one to add to the list.
He was emotional. You know, we mentioned that earlier, but he talked about that in the press conference, and then when you went on with him in the Dale Jr. download, he was emotional with your win. How special is that, to know that your car owner, that he's a racer himself, but and he, you know, he raced a lot of the same things that you did, but to have that investment in emotional investment in you, and to show that when you were all rewarded on Sunday with that win?
Yeah, no, that was amazing. And you know, I spoke to him, our competition director handed me his phone like almost right after I got out of the car, and yeah, it was Dale, and I could tell he had been emotional. And I mean, it's just really special to me. I feel very fortunate for the opportunities that I've gotten and the things that he's done for me, you know, just over the course of the years. And you know, last year I thought we saw a glimpse of that whenever you know, we talked about how much the accomplishments that we had in the late model car, the thing, how much that meant to him. And you know, I remember being on his podcast and him saying, you know, how he never thought that we could top it. And you know, he thought that much of that accomplishment. Well, then we go to Martinsville and win an Xfinity race. And I think that's what probably brought the emotion out of him, but it's very special. And like I said, I'm just thankful to be here and doing what I'm doing.
What do you think is going to be next for you? I mean, you mentioned Nashville will be your last race in the 8 car with Junior Motorsports, at least scheduled that way. I know you're still running the late model some, but what's kind of on the horizon for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's something that we've been trying to figure out, I guess, what an Xfinity win for a guy like me really means for me in my career. You know, one of our key partners with our Xfinity effort this year, Tire Pros, they signed on for 2 additional of my races this year that we didn't have sold. So that they'll be on the car for all, you know, all the remaining races that I have, with the exception of Nashville, and that one will be iRacing. So, you know, we've already generated a little bit of interest, you know, with our partners that we have. And it's just hard to say, you know, I think for this year, I think we're going to try to finish out this Xfinity effort strong. And then I will go back running our late model, I'm sure. And we need to see what we can maybe put together for next year. But, you know, like kind of like I spoke to when we first started here, you know, you never know, that could change in a couple of days. So we're just going to keep our heads down and just stay after it.
Well, it like I said, it's been fun to watch, and you being a local guy, it's obviously great to cheer for you. Before I let you go, I do want to get your thoughts. I know the Xfinity Series did not run on the dirt at Bristol. Do you want to see that next year and the Xfinity Series run there? And you know, you have short track experience, but I don't know about the dirt. Would that be fun for you guys to jump on that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I enjoyed the whole kind of experience of it and watching it unfold. I thought the racing was really, really good. And you know, I think it's something that is good to do, you know, once, maybe twice a year. I don't think it's something that you want to keep it new and exciting, right? You want to kind of, that's what makes something special, is if you had, you know, only do it once a year. So I don't think it's something that I want to see them, you know, jump head first into. But I think a dirt race or two, I think it's pretty exciting, and I think it drew a lot of interest, which is always a good thing.
Well, I agree with you on that. And Josh, good to talk to you again. Congratulations once again on your win at Martinsville. Find a good spot for that clock. that's one awesome trophy to have. But we'll do it again down the road, and can't wait to watch how your career continues to just go upward and upward.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Josh Berry, driver of the number 8 Junior Motorsport Chevrolet. It was funny. I got asked by a few people on Twitter at our Chase and Checkers account, at Chase_Checkers, are you going to have the local guy on after his win? And I was already working on it, had already reached out to Amanda with NASCAR, and I was glad that we were able to make it happen, because it's a cool story. It's a local story, and just a short track racer, you know, doing it the old school way, running late models, and he gets an opportunity with Dale Jr. and Junior Motorsports, and he goes out and he wins. And at one of the most historic racetracks too. And it was a dominant win. It wasn't just one of those, it wasn't fluky at all. It was a dominant win. And ends up getting the checker. So hope to see them work something out. Maybe he gets some other opportunities later this year beyond, you know, Nashville. So that would be really cool to see. But time will tell. And that's what happens. It changes every week in NASCAR. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to go from short tracks to super speedways. I'll tell you what we're talking about with Talladega Super Speedway. We will do that when we come back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. It is all powered by the Nashville Super Speedway. You know about race weekend, Father's Day weekend, June 18th, 19th, and 20th, the trucks, the Xfinity Series, and of course, the Ally 400, the Cup Series, the first time that the Cup Series has been in our market since 1984. You can call 1-866-RACETICKS or go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com to get your tickets for that awesome weekend. Another awesome weekend that is going to be coming up here in just a few weeks is that at Talladega. So what better way to talk about that than bringing in their president, Brian Crichton. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. And you're right, Talladega always brings the unexpected. So you got to expect the unexpected.
And that's the fun part of Super Speedway racing for sure. And with this new car and this different rules package, you know, that certainly makes it different. But how have things been going in this COVID time of getting ready for this weekend in April?
They're going well. They're going as well as we can, as we continue to navigate through these uncertain times. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, this will be our third event during these very different times. So we've been able to build a really good foundation, knowledge and understanding of you know, how we can welcome fans back to Talladega Super Speedway and continue to grow on that foundation. So we're excited. You know, the governor of Alabama loosened up the restrictions a little bit, basically took the restrictor plate off, so to speak, in Talladega language last week. And so we're going to be able to welcome even more fans back to Talladega Super Speedway. So we're excited for our Geico 500 event weekend.
Yeah, and that's been interesting to watch in different race markets, of just how many fans this, you know, the different you know, cities are going to be able to let in. And for you guys, you know, with what you've done in the last few years with the renovations, you know, being able to spread people out, it won't be an issue, but it's still limited availability. So how can fans get their tickets?
Yeah, so they can visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com to get all the information on all the different available you know, options that we have. So we still have very limited Sunday grandstand and tower seats available. We are opening up our Talladega Garage Experience again. That's that new $50 million infield renovation project that we haven't opened since October of 2019. That's going to be open back again. It's going to be a little bit different experience, but one of the cool things is fans will be able to actually actually reserve a table in there and know that's their table for the entire weekend. So there's more information on the website about that. And then we're also going to have a drive-in viewing option where inside of the infield in turns 1 and 2, you're going to be able to bring your car in or your SUV in, your pickup truck in, have a reserve spot and actually be able to tailgate right there and watch the cars come through 1 and 2. It's going to be a pretty cool experience. So all that information can be found on our website, TalladegaSuperspeedway.com.
And of course, always you can call 877-GO-TODEGA as well if you want to do it that way. So you've been on the job a couple of years as the president, and you've been thrown a curveball with everything over the last year. But what's it been like for you?
Yeah, in Talladega language, I guess they call it the big one, right? Yeah. The big one happened shortly after I took over. But, it's funny. Grant Lynch, he's still here in Talladega. He's the chairman. I worked with Grant for 10 years. So he still comes in all the time, and we share stories, and he's helping me out with this transition as well. But definitely been a different time, but, a time that we've been able to navigate through as a company and as a sport in NASCAR. I like to say, and I'm pretty sure every track president out there would say the same thing, that they've got the best team in all of NASCAR, and I feel that we've got the best team here at Talladega Super Speedway in all of NASCAR that helps us navigate through it. So it's definitely been different. We've definitely been throwing that curveball, but we're sitting back, we're waiting on it, and we're knocking it out of the park here at Talladega. So we're excited about all the options and all the opportunities we have to offer the fans to come out here and really, really enjoy the spectacular racing that Talladega Super Speedway puts on.
So something that I really enjoy that that you all do, and a lot of tracks have gone to this, is it's a triple header weekend. You're going to have the General Tire 200, the Ag Pro 300, but that's all going to be in one day. That's going to be on Saturday, and I love that because I think it just it ups the value of the ticket that you see. You get to see more racing in one day, and of course 500 miles on Sunday with the Geico 500.
It does, yeah. It sets up just for, as you said, just a tremendous weekend. I mean, the ARCA guys here and gals, when they're on the track here, they put on a show. It's a great, great race for the ARCA Menard Series here for the General Tire 200. And then, of course, the Xfinity Series and all the excitement the Xfinity Series, has so far this year. It's starting to great race at Daytona, and obviously with the rules package and the cars, it sets up real nice here at Talladega as well. And then, of course, to get the Cup guys on the track and Sunday for those 500 miles. And sometimes it's a little bit over 500 miles if they get into a big one towards the end and they have to go into NASCAR overtime. But always, always an exciting finish here at Talladega Super Speedway when you got those Cup guys on the track.
I have been also very impressed with NASCAR over the last few years starting with this year, we really saw it, but revamping the schedule. And for you guys, you're going to have your two races, and you should, and you're one of the marquee events. But as the president of a speedway, as a track promoter, to see NASCAR showing some diversity with the schedule, they're coming back to our market here in Nashville. I know that has to feel cool for all of you because, ultimately you're one big happy family.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the excitement that, the dirt at Bristol or going to COTA or coming back to Nashville is great for the sport. It's got everybody talking about it. It's got everybody excited about it. One of the things we say here is high tides raise all boats. And, to get more and more people talking about racing, and specifically NASCAR racing is great for all of us. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in the demand for the product here at Talladega Super Speedway. We're not seeing a diminished, crowd that's coming out here. Our only restrictor plate right now is, unfortunately, the COVID, numbers that we have to adhere to. But the excitement's here, the crowd's going to be out here. So again, to have the NASCAR return to Nashville is a great thing. That dirt on Bristol was awesome, and so it's just exciting. It's an exciting time in the sport, and just so happy to see NASCAR taking those steps to breathe new life into everything. So this is our opportunity to do it, and we're excited to be a part of it.
Well, we're excited about it. Coming up April 24th through the 25th, the triple header weekend, you'll see the ARCA, the Xfinity Series, and, of course, the Cup Series on Sunday. Tickets are limited because of everything going on with COVID, but still available. You can go to TalladegaSuperspeedway.com or call 877-GO-TO-DEGA to get your tickets. Brian, it's awesome to talk to you. Appreciate the time today and can't wait for race weekend.
Jason, appreciate you having me on, and we can't wait for it either. It's going to be another spectacular weekend at Talladega Superspeedway.
And again, it's going to be a fun weekend at Talladega because, as he said to start that interview, you always have to expect the unexpected, and that is my favorite part of watching racing at the Talladega Superspeedway. One time it could be Chase Elliott, then it could be Ryan Blaney, it could be Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, it doesn't matter. And we know that Hamlin's been pretty good on at Daytona, but Talladega is a different beast in itself, and you got to watch out for the big one or the big one. So looking forward to that here in a few weeks. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, it is time to get ready for short track racing once again at the Richmond Raceway. We'll have Sunday money as well. It is Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast
We're back here
platform.
On Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe hanging out every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And if you miss any of the shows, you can subscribe to the podcast just by searching Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcast. You can also go to thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com for more content as well. A couple of news and notes as we head into the racing weekend from Richmond. NASCAR made this announcement earlier this week. They are going to allow limited hospitality starting at Darlington for the throwback weekend, which is in May this year, as they have two races. So NASCAR has not made a formal announcement of its plans for the May 7th through 9th weekend at Darlington Raceway, but it is provided information to Fox Sports about what it expects at Darlington. Just some of the cliff notes here. Each team, each manufacturer in the track will get a handful of guests. Those guests must be fully vaccinated. Prior to COVID-19, it wasn't rare for a team to be able to entertain a sponsor, executive, and some family members of that executive, but now it's most likely will be limited just to the sponsor executive only. The guests will have access to the garage and pit road, but there will be no hauler tours, no meetings with drivers. Drivers stay in the motorhome lot area, and no access to the hot side of pit road, meaning no photos of the guests by the cars or with the drivers prior to the race. It was the custom before the pandemic. If their car wins, the guests will be allowed on the pit box and will be allowed to go to victory lane for socially distanced photos with the team. Each team will be responsible for confirming that its guest has been fully vaccinated. NASCAR might ask for a vaccination card at screening, but will not store the health data. NASCAR is not requiring drivers and crew members to be vaccinated, but it is highly encouraging them to do so. NASCAR asks about vaccination on its screening from each week, and it estimates that NASCAR industry mostly mirrors the national averages for vaccination, might be a little lower because on average, crew members and drivers are relatively young and only recently became eligible. So just a few things there when it comes to getting back to normal after the COVID-19 pandemic and it comes to NASCAR. Something else that I wanted to pass along. So SRX, which is the thing that Ray Evernham and Tony Stewart have come up with, announced their announcers for CBS, the broadcast crew. Going to be some familiar names that are going to be on this broadcast crew, a six-series event, which is going to begin on June 12th. Check this out. Alan Beswick will be the lap-by-lap announcer. Brad Doherty will serve on that as a analyst. Lindsey Zarniak, who is a long history in NASCAR, will be the host. Matt Yoakum will be in the pits as well. So just a few of those. And driver analysts that are going to be a part of it, there are going to be three ex-drivers will work two races apiece. Danica Patrick, James Hinchcliffe, and Dario Franchini will be a part of the broadcast crew as well. So going to be cool. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing what Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham have put together for this summer with the short track racing, including a race at the fairgrounds. And also, speaking of the fairgrounds, there was a fair board meeting this week and basically looking like, and not that this is really a surprise, there won't be a NASCAR race next year at the fairgrounds. 2023 more likely. Still moving in the right direction, though. I know SMI wants to have everything in place by July 31st so they can begin construction immediately and try and get that track ready to go. Listen, the sooner they get all that done and the sooner they can get construction done, the better off everybody is going to be. So, in getting things going again at the Nashville Fairgrounds. So looking forward to more updates on that as we get a little bit closer. All right, so let's talk racing from Richmond this weekend. Martin Truex Jr. is going to start on the pole as per the qualifying procedure. Denny Hamlin will roll off second, Chase Elliott third, William Byron fourth, Joey Logano fifth, Kyle Larson sixth, Ryan Blaney seventh, Christopher Bell eighth, Kevin Harvick ninth, and Kyle Busch will round out the top 10. Richmond, a fun race. This one, Sunday. I miss doing both at night, but going to be a fun race for sure. Chase Elliott commented on the what he expects at a racing from Richmond.
You know, the driving at Richmond is honestly very straightforward, and I think that's what makes Richmond really hard, is because it's just not a super challenging place, I don't think, for the drivers to run the proper line. But what makes it really hard there is to just be different, and everyone is just doing the exact same thing. Obviously, you have to have your car balance really good there, and it has to be perfect. You're riding that really razor thin edge, much like you do at Martinsville. But definitely it's a challenge. And I think the biggest reason is challenge is everyone is just doing the same thing. Martinsville is different, where, you know, I feel like guys really attack that racetrack differently. Whereas Richmond, I feel like everyone is just in the exact same boat. And it's hard to, it really is hard to be different. And I think that's what makes that place tough.
I'm curious to see how this one is going to shake out. You know, could this be the weekend that Chase Elliott or Denny Hamlin breaks through and gets their first win of the year? Time is going to tell. But, you know, as he said, everybody's doing a lot of the same things. And so it's really hard to differentiate and break apart when you're doing a lot of the same things. So I think it'll be fun. You know, you're going to see some beating and banging, not quite like you do at Bristol, not on the dirt, but at Bristol and Martinsville, because Richmond is definitely the bigger of the three. But we'll see. Going to be a lot of fun. And so that leads us in to Sunday Money. Sunday Money. All right. So the favorite once again is Martin Truex Jr. at plus 400 for the Toyota Owners 400 at the Richmond Raceway this weekend. I have picked Denny Hamlin. I've had him on here, I think, the last 3 or 4 weeks as being one of my picks, and it hasn't worked out. You know, last week I thought I was going to get it. I had Chase Elliott as a part of it, and Truex comes in as the favorite and ends up winning the race. So going to try it a little differently this week. Denny's not on here. I am not going with one of the favorites. I am just going to try my best to get this thing right. And this is how it's going to go down. So just for clarity, before I give you the picks, of the active drivers, Kyle Busch leads the way with 6 wins at Richmond. The last coming in 2018 when he swept the year at that track. Denny Hamlin has 3, his last coming in 2016. Kevin Harvick has 3, last winning in 2013. Brad Keselowski with 2, he won last year in 2020. Joey Logano has 2 as well, last win in 2017. Kurt Busch has 2 wins at the Richmond Raceway, last winning in 2015. And Martin Truex Jr. swept the Richmond both weekends in 2019. And remember, they only raced there once last year because of the pandemic. And as I said, Brad Keselowski won that race. Kyle Larson has a win. Ryan Newman has a win. Larson winning in 2017, Newman in 2003. So that leads us into the Sunday Money picks. I have at the top of the list a guy that is looking for a win, has not had a win yet, and it's been a very long time since he has not won at this point in the season. That is Brad Keselowski, who won this race last year, won the only race, I should say, they had at Richmond last year. He is plus 650, according to BetMGM. That's where I get all my odds from. Kyle Larson only has the one win, but he's in different equipment. He's in the Hendrick cars. He's had a very strong start to the season. I like him at plus 750. Kyle Busch, as I mentioned, has won there six times. Of course, I had to put him on the board. Plus 900 on the weekend. Really good value there for Kyle Busch if you take the six-time winner. And then the long shot I'm going with. A guy that's won already this year, has had a solid start to the season at plus 1600. Ryan Blaney as well. So there you go. Your Sunday money picks. We'll tweet those out at @Chasing_Checkers as we always do. That's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. Remember, if you miss anything, all you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com, or you can just subscribe to the podcast. You can get a new episode whenever it is uploaded. Also do individual interviews and some exclusive content with the podcast as well. So be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Enjoy the racing from Richmond. We'll be back at it next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.